Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the September 17th, 2023 service at Plymouth, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Reverend Patricia Berger. You may stand in body or spirit for our call to worship. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Next is the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Testament today is from Exodus chapter 14 verses 19 through 31, and if you'd like to follow along in the pew Bibles, that's on page 61. The word of the Lord from the book of Exodus, here with the Spirit, is saying to the church, the angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched his hand out over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the water forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, There is a Wideness in God's Mercy.
According to Matthew. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of the Lord. Every day, from the very beginning of time and until the end of time, every one of those days, God has forgiven, forgives, and will forgive every one of the divinely created and beloved children. Forgives them time and time again. The children are forgiven not because they deserve it, but because our God is a gracious God. Think about how many times God must have forgiven even one of those children, like maybe one of us even. How many times God has forgiven? And then Peter comes to Jesus and asks, how often should I forgive a member of the church? As many as 7 times? Do you think God must have laughed hard even, or maybe cried and shaken whatever passes for the divine head in utter disbelief? Our God is a loving, creating God, and every time each one of us is forgiven, God is at work, continuing the creating in us so that we might come closer to being the ones that we were created to be. One of the authors I read this week wrote, I've come to believe that there's a liberating beauty and challenge in acknowledging that there's only ever been one human being, Jesus Christ. The rest of us are approximations. We are sketches. Insofar as we are unable to be compassionate, we are not being all too human as much as not human, not yet. For us to understand today's verses from Matthew, we need to remember that they were written for the early church. They were written after Jesus' death and resurrection. Things happen in churches. Well, you know, people don't always get along with each other, you know, and sometimes something might happen that would cause one to need to forgive or to be forgiven, you know. These verses were instructions to those within the church. They were not given to an audience of non-believers. And what makes the church into the church is forgiveness. It's essential. We must, of course, have a good grip on what forgiveness is. One commentator wrote that forgiveness does not mean the embrace of violence perpetrated against us. It does not mean giving free rein to those who would do us harm. Forgiveness is a gift of grace, a reflection of God's love, not the curse of abuse or a reflection of our worst tendencies as humans. Okay, forgiveness makes righteousness real. Last week we read the verses in Matthew about confronting one who had sinned against another. And if that one did not listen, witnesses ought to be taken for more listening. And then if one still did not listen, the person might have to be treated as another, an outsider, gently and with love, but as an outsider. These verses today are the good news. Forgiving is an unending grace, a rabbinic tradition with which Matthew's first readers would have been familiar, said one ought to forgive three times. So Peter's asked if he ought to forgive seven times. Jesus as much as says that counting is a waste of time. God does not keep score, and I can't even imagine how he could. The amount that the slave in Jesus' parable owed to the king, the 10,000 talents, one talent would be equal to 15 years' wages. 10,000 then would amount to approximately 150,000 years' wages. No one could owe anyone that much money. At first, the king is very stern with the slave, and then he forgives him the entire amount, as our God does. Think of some things that our God has needed to forgive this week. Things you've heard on the news, or things that have happened in the community, or maybe we don't even need to go far from home to think of something that God needed to forgive. And the same thing is true for us, as was true when Jesus talked with Peter. God is there for us. God cares for us. Our God is a gracious God. In a different way, that's what the Hebrew people were learning, as we heard from the book of Exodus that Shannon read for us. Time after time, not just three times, not just seven times, but every time that they needed, every step of the way, God saved the chosen people. It was too warm during the day. God provided them with a cloud for shade. Too dark at night, God gave them a light. And then there were those Egyptians who weren't listening to Moses or to God. Ultimately, there were consequences to be paid for their actions. This is not a story about Israel, and it's not a story about Egypt. It's a story about God. God was there for the Hebrews as God is there for us. God took care of the Hebrews as God takes care of us. Forgiveness is essential. C.S. Lewis wrote, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act, it's a constant attitude." And an anonymous person said, "Forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past can be changed." Wise words, and maybe another starting place for our understanding of how it is that forgiveness is so important. We have been forgiven very much. That same forgiving grace, God's grace, enables us to be those who forgive, and who forgive without counting. 77 times, or 7 times 70 times, the Greek can be translated either way, and the number makes no difference whatever. The Greek word for forgiveness can also be translated to send away. All of the wrongs we have committed have been sent away. And all of the wrongs committed against us, we can send away. Let us pray. Gracious God, we're grateful for the forgiveness that you show to us every single day. Help us to learn how to be those who forgive also. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
next is the hymn, "Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above." Next is the hymn, "Let Us Accept Each Other."
Yeah.
knowing that we are forgiven and that we can forgive, and knowing that we're held by holy hands with a love that will not let us go.